All right. It is the holiday, and you know, on every holiday, we go to the man who has got his finger on the pulse of baseball, and that is Paul White. And Paul, great to have you with us on this holiday. How are you?
Doing great.
Paul, I wanted to ask you, and I always introduce you as sort of the creator of the USA Today's Baseball Weekly, which, of course, is still a major publication covering baseball. How did that come about?
Well, it was just before Christmas in 1990. There were two brothers, John and Tom Curley. John was the CEO of the Gannett Company, and his brother Tom was the president of USA Today. And they were at the corporation's year-end meetings, and they're also huge, huge baseball fans. And they were at lunch one day, and they noticed, they read a report, the Sporting News was going to do away with box scores. They were going to stop printing box scores. And they were appalled. Oh, no, how could that possibly happen? Hard to believe in this era, but that was a big deal. And they looked at each other and said, well, we run one of the biggest media conglomerates in the United States. Why can't we do this? And I was on the baseball desk. It's just near Christmas. It's the off season, you know. And my boss came to me and said, they just asked me if we could put out an all baseball publication. And I said, sure we could. So what do you think? Well, what am I supposed to say? And I said, well, when? They said, well, they want it ready for opening day. So here we are, basically Christmas. They want us to start from scratch, build a staff, figure out what's going to go in it, put together the whole operation, and be there on opening day. And we did.
Wow, amazing. Who, Paul White with us, of course. I always introduce him as the creator of this USA Today Baseball Weekly. I haven't heard the story. Who'd you have on the staff at that point? Who, any of the people we'd recognize?
Wow, I'm just trying to think. Actually, a guy, Tim Wendell, who's an author that's done a ton of books, worked in the Bay Area for quite a while, and covered the A's way back, has written several baseball books, won all kinds of awards. He was on our staff. Rob Raines, who's in St. Louis, is sort of semi-retired and working there, was on our original staff. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Nightingale must have been in junior high then or something.
Close to it. We brought him on later. That was more at a time when he started doing some things for us on a contract basis, because we knew that coming down the road a little farther, we were going to combine the baseball staffs, the writing staffs of USA Today and the Weekly, to get more for, you know, more bang for the company's buck. And then we got Bob on board, and knowing that, okay, we're going to be able to make Bob part of the USA Today family too, and make him a full-time staffer at that point. So that's how that all came together.
Well, great story. I appreciate you sharing this on July 4th. Well, your hometown team, we'll start with them, the Washington Nationals. And you know, of course, you live there. You know what's going on. They lost again today.
Shut out.
To the Red Sox. They're swept by the Red Sox here. As I always say, boy, if you get double digits back, you could be in trouble. Of course, Atlanta lost today, too. But what's going on with the Nats?
They are just absolutely not hitting. There's doing no offense there. And they're in kind of a strange place because, you know, teams that are contenders and everybody this time of year is talking about who can we get, you know, and as the trade deadline's approaching. Well, this is a team in a tough spot. Yeah, they've got some young talent. They've got some guys that maybe if they really wanted to make an impact trade, they could, but it's probably not in their best interest to do so. They've got to hope that the guys who are on their roster right now are the guys who can get it turned around. Daniel Murphy's done very little since he came back from his injury. He started to show some signs. That's crucial. Bryce Harper, yeah, he's got a lot of home runs, but he's just become another one of those 40-homer, 220-hitter guys. And, you know, that's not the impact guy that they need. So they've got to live and hope that the guys they have in the roster come back. Ryan Zimmerman, Matt Wieters are both coming back from the DL shortly. But who knows what you get from those guys. Their best offensive player, most consistent guy all year, has been Anthony Rendon, the third baseman. They're trying to do some things at the top of the order. Adam Eaton's come back. He's a real catalyst. That allows them to bat Trey Turner second. So now they can start to create some things at the top of the order. But there's not a lot they can do because most of their positions are locked in. And if you look at it, if you look at the names and if you look at the past performance, it's still probably the most talented roster in the National League, but that doesn't do anything for poor Davey Martinez right now.
Boy, it doesn't. All right, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being very concerned and 1, it's okay, it's early, where are you with the Nats?
Me, I'm not concerned. but if you're a Nats fan,
right.
I mean, you're probably, you know, a 5 or a 6. And it was kind of funny. I was watching them the other night, and FP Santangelo, who you guys know well, does the color on their TV broadcast, and he said, "It's okay, Nats fans. We'll welcome you when you jump on the bandwagon in the second half. It's coming." And he goes, "I'm not sure when, though, but it's coming," you know, trying to be ever the optimist. But, yeah, there's a lot of concern here. And the biggest thing, you know, is it's not like they can go make a big deal, like I said. You've got the Harper situation. He's in his walk year, and you can see him pressing. You know, so what do they do? And, you know, the Soto kid who's come up and just been a revelation is the guy of the future. If you're the Nats, you got to be wondering, what do you do going forward with the Harper situation? Do you even try to keep him? Do you hope that Scott Boras will say, "Hey, this is one of those deals where I'm going to do the 1 year contract for big bucks and hope he has a better year and put him back in the free agent market"? They're in a tough spot.
Yeah, they are. Boy, interesting. Paul White with us. It is July 4th. And the Atlanta Braves and the Phillies are still in the party, and they're very much having a good time. It is July 4th, and this is one of our markers. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and you know, they both played pretty well against the Nationals, which I think is crucial, because if you're a young team like those teams are, okay, you can think that those teams are going to get better as the year goes on. There's some young pitching there, especially like a lot of the young bats on the Braves roster. The longer you let them stay in the race, the longer, the more often they play well, win games against the Nationals, those guys start to believe it. Like, why not us? And I think they've reached that point. So I think they're in it for real. I think there's a three-team race in that division. I think whoever doesn't win the division, the other two are certainly in the middle of the wild card race. I mean, I looked this morning. There's 11 teams in the National League within 7 games of a playoff spot.
Wow.
And that's legitimately in it at this point.
Well, great. I will say this. Atlanta is the only team in the East playing over 500 against the East. Atlanta's 27-14. Philly's 15-17. The Nats are 13-16. Then you got the Mets 15-16. That was early. And Miami 9-16. So that's a fairly significant number for Atlanta. So But the point is, it's July 4th and they're still there, and I agree with you 1,000%. You hang around long enough and then you believe it can happen. That's why July is such an important month, because something always happens between the All-Star break and August 1st. And some teams, all of a sudden, the light comes on that they're not in it anymore. And if you can make it to August 1st, then you know you have something. So this is going to be an interesting month for the Braves and the Nats, see if they can catch up. The Cubs come in here Monday. The Brewers seem to be another team. It's July 4th, and it's not a novelty anymore. So Cardinals struggling a little bit. How do you see the Central?
You know, I was watching the Cubs today, and it's kind of funny. They're playing the Tigers, and they won the game. But just as you watch the game, there are so many amazing athletic things that the Cubs can do. The guys on their team, there's so much talent in so many ways there. When you watch them, you keep thinking, how can they not eventually pull away in this thing? Because they're just so much real talent defensively, offensively. I know they have their pitching issues, but we can make those kind of statements about every team in the National League that thinks it's in contention. None of them are perfect. There's warts on all of them. But the Cubs just have so many guys who can do so many things. So I'm watching that, and I'm thinking to myself, yeah, they've got to eventually win it. Then I flip over and watch the Brewers, and they just won a game because they got back-to-back home runs in the 8th inning from Brad Miller and Nate Orff. Who?
Orff?
Orff.
Okay.
Orff. His first major league hit. This is one of those career minor league guys. They got so frustrated with Arcia's lack of production at second base, they brought this guy up, career AAA guy. They were so thrilled for his home run. The curtain call, he wouldn't go out. Two of his teammates picked him up, carried him up the steps of the dugout for the curtain call. I mean, you know, all of a sudden you look and go, well, is it destiny for a team like this, or is it the Cubs just because they have more talent?
Boy, good analysis. And maybe the Brewers will be a wild card team, but who knows? Who knows? As you said, 11 teams within 7 games of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
Boy, nice to have you with us. One last thought for you. The All-Star voting, I guess we're going to get the results of it probably next week.
I think that's Sunday, I believe.
Is it this Sunday? Okay.
Yeah. Or maybe it's the following Sunday, yeah, because the game's later this year.
Right, it's 1 week later. But yeah. Do you think they get the best players in the All-Star game? In other words, the people get voted in. Are they the best players at their position?
I think... You know, I was looking at the voting recently, and it was kind of interesting. The American League, there are of the 10 spots because they do, or the 9 spots because they do the DH.
Right.
There are 8 teams represented in the leaders in the last vote I saw in the American League, which is stunning because it's not the old ballot stuffing that we used to see in the team. You know, and I think the fact that it's all online now actually has helped. I really think steadily as it's gone more and more to online voting, for some reason, and I don't know the reasons behind this, the fans are doing a much better job. When I sit down and make a list of who I think should start and I compare it, it comes pretty close.
Yeah.
You still get some of that popularity vote. Harper's been at the top of the list, you know, all along. But even he started to fade a little bit here as the voting's gone on. I think it's a much better representation now than it's ever been in the past.
I agree. I really do. That was asked of me, and I agree 100%. Because of all the information that's out there now. And do they still have voting in the park? I don't even know.
They don't. I think that's huge. You know, I know people love to sit there and make their own hanging chad and stuff them in the box and give them the usher or whatever you did. But that's where you got those crazy votes. You know, you got a bunch of kids sitting there going, oh, I like this guy, you know. Yeah. Well, he's been on the DL since May. So what? I like him. You know, you don't have that anymore.
Interesting. I didn't realize that. Very good. Hey, great to have you on as always. I look forward to the next visit, probably around the trade deadline. We'll see what people do. But congratulations on the USA Today Baseball Week. I'm very glad to hear that story. That was very good. And enjoy the 4th and everything else. Paul, thank you.
Thanks, Marty.
Very good. That's Paul White.